So before I read the other part of the gospel that just precedes today's appointed reading, I wanted to just start with what was in the appointed reading for today, because I think a lot of us have probably heard this passage before, or one of the others from the Gospels that has a very similar line, right? If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this tree, be uprooted and fall into the sea. And in another part of the Gospels, it says you could say to this mountain, right, be uprooted and tossed into the sea. This idea of you having this great power, you know, if only you had just a little bit of faith, right? And I don't know about you or if you grew up in the Christian tradition or have heard people preach on this passage before. I had often remember hearing that this, and this being preached as a way of almost kind of calling me into deeper faith, right? That like, clearly because I can't make a mountain jump into the sea or a mulberry bush become uprooted, you know, I had to be like focused and working on my own faith as if there was like something I could do to kind of garner more or to increase it. I definitely was someone who kind of responded in the same way the disciples did, right? Lord, increase our faith, increase my faith. You know, other parts of the scriptures, it talks about faith being a gift of God, right? And you've probably heard me talk about this if you've been around for a while, that I don't want anyone to ever feel discouraged about whatever level of faith they feel they have, however you want to define that, because it's something that is given to us, and we all have it in different measures, and that's okay. But what I wanted to do is to connect this with the passage that comes right before, because it's actually all one passage. I'm actually not entirely sure why this was cut down for our lectionary, but I think it frames it very differently. And that's what I want to talk a little bit about today when we look at it in its entirety. So starting with verse 1 of chapter 17. Jesus said to his disciples, occasions for stumbling are bound to come, but woe to anyone by whom they come. It would be better for you if a millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea than for you to cause one of these little ones to stumble. Be on your guard. If another disciple sins, you must rebuke the offender. And if there is repentance, you must forgive. And if the same person sins against you 7 times a day and turns back to you 7 times a day and says, I repent, you must forgive. The apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. The call for an increase of faith, the whole context in Luke's gospel for the mustard seed, right? Faith as little as a mustard seed is in the context of forgiveness. And for anyone that has been in a situation where you felt like you're constantly forgiving someone for hurting you, or that there's something that has been done that is so grievous that you just feel like you cannot forgive. I think what I want to talk about today is for us, because I'm included in that. Most people that I talk to, when we really get down to it, have at least one person in their life that, for whatever reason, they just have a really hard time forgiving. And I think it's easy to read this and hear like, oh, I'm doing something wrong because I should be able to forgive. Jesus commands me to forgive, right? It says you must forgive in the passage. Now, to be clear, the translation's a little odd. Like, it says you must forgive, but they're just trying to communicate Jesus using the imperative, right? Jesus giving a command. It just says, forgive, right? It says, if someone comes to you, sins against you 7 times, and then comes back and says, I repent, forgive them, right? So if that is a little bit easier to kind of internalize, just, you know, hear that. But I found, and you've probably heard this before, that when we don't forgive someone, right, when we hold on to a lot of unforgiveness and anger and hate, it's usually hurting us far more than it's hurting the person that we're angry at. But that doesn't help us forgive anyone anymore. At least it hasn't for me. In my experience, the only thing that's really helped me to do this is time. You know, is just to let things settle, to probably not be in relationship with that person for a while, and to just try to let time heal things. And that doesn't work all the time. And I want anyone who hears this passage and kind of immediately thinks of someone or something that they just have not been able to let go of or not been able to forgive, or on the other side, if you've been the aggressor or the offender and feel like you've never received forgiveness, I want you to hear that this is what God is working in the midst of. The reason the disciples asked Jesus to increase their faith is because they heard his message of forgiveness and they're like, that's insane. So you're in good company, right? If this is something you struggle with, that's crazy. That's not how this works. Look at the gospel today, right? And if that didn't turn your stomach, you know, what will, right? I mean, it's not the only time the Psalms talk about, and the gospel, or the scriptures talk about dashing babies' heads against the rock, right? It's like blood curdling and stomach churning, right? That's the way that throughout history, so often we as human beings respond to being hurt. I'm not saying any of us have that kind of level of anger, you know, or anything like that. But that psalm is a response to the exile. That psalm is a response to Israel's entire country being taken for their people to be killed and carted off into slavery. There is a lot of bitterness and anger that has festered over years and years and years, over decades. And that's where this comes out of, right? I'm not saying that that's an appropriate response, but I'm saying that is the response that the people hearing Jesus' words to forgive are used to thinking, right? In my experience in this world, a lot of times we're kind of taught to hold grudges, right? You know, we're taught to hold on to stuff. A lot of people are motivated by their anger or their frustration or their kind of, you know, hurt. And to that, I think, is what Jesus is speaking. Not saying that you all of a sudden will have the ability to forgive because Jesus told you to. But to be aware that in the space of forgiveness is where we find peace and is where we find freedom and release. I think in this and just in everything Jesus teaches us, there's a mark and a voice of compassion. A desire to invite us into letting go of the things that hurt us and hurt the people around us and to live and walk into the things of joy and into love. That, I think, is at the heart of today's gospel. And I offer it not as something that all of a sudden we can now do because Chris said it's good to forgive, right? I don't know if there's anyone here that probably hasn't heard or internalized the idea that it's good to forgive people, right? I mean, how often do we grow up and like do something to one of our friends or our brother or sister and they're like, you know, and your parents are like, say you're sorry, I'm not sure, you know, the level of remorse there is always, I know in my case was always a little iffy, but I came around, you know, in time. Even from a young age, right, we get that idea that we're supposed to forgive, but it's not always that easy to let go of something, right? And please don't hear any part of me say that you have to do anything. That's not the way the Gospels and Jesus' law really comes to us. It's not like this is the law, now do it. It's this is the law, this would be better for us, but the reality is we are somewhere else. We are somewhere in between, and God's grace and mercy comes and meets us and lives with us in that space. That's what the gospel is about. In the ways in which we are not able to let go, in the ways in which we are not able to follow the commands, God's grace and mercy through Christ is there. And one more kind of caveat in all of this. I think too often in the church, I have heard messages on forgiveness. And we good? Sorry, thank you. Or maybe not. the rumbling. Sorry, forgiven. It's like the most serious of like the parts of what I'm sharing. Welcome to St. David's. That's about sums it up. I want to say to anyone who has been hurt, who has, through no fault of their own, been traumatized or caused pain by someone, I am not in any way telling you how you should or ought to feel, what your response to that needs to be, that you're a bad person if you can't forgive that other person. The pain that lives in us because we have been hurt or offended is real, and I want to recognize and not diminish or reduce that at all. Forgiveness is something that we're constantly kind of thinking about as we work through the pains in our lives. But please do not hear me say that like there is something that you need to feel a way other than you feel. There's a community around you. There are friends and family, I am here. If there is any kind of hurt like that, know that you are loved. Know that you are surrounded by God's grace and mercy. And please, do not take this as some judgment that you need to be or feel any way other than you do. Take whatever time you need to feel and to heal from the hurts that have been done to you. I think too often, from the pulpit, ministers like kind of try to push us past that because somehow this is the better way to be, but again, like you've heard me say before, God takes us where we need to go in our time. The Holy Spirit moves in our lives. And if you find yourself in a place where you're not able or not even wanting to forgive, that is an okay place to be right now. And by God's grace, we pray that whatever needs to happen in us will happen in its time. And if that burden is heavy, if that burden is difficult, again, I and the others are here to support you. So I just want to just kind of lay that out there in the midst of this conversation about forgiveness and repentance, okay? I think this idea of forgiveness falls very much into the same vein that I talked about the last couple of weeks about this idea of suffering, right? At the root of suffering is some kind of offense, some kind of hurt, some kind of pain. And very often that is caused by someone else or caused by us. There's this part of me that kind of, you know, sees that we're going through the Book of Lamentations, you know, that we're reading these very difficult, mournful psalms that seek vengeance and rage within them. And I think, man, this is kind of the downer part of the Bible, you know. But I have to remind myself, because even though I want to focus on the positive and the good things and the happy things, the things that, you know, we tend to talk more about in the Scriptures, I have to be reminded and I have to take seriously the fact that the Scriptures are full of very difficult things. Stories of pain and of suffering, of need and of rage. And I think it's important to recognize that because that's a part of our lives too. The Lamentations, these darker parts of the Scriptures are important because we too suffer. Just in this last week, we're a fairly young congregation. We haven't had too many too many deaths. Like, I think we've had 3 deaths in the 7 years I've been here of parishioners, right? But just this week, we've had 3 families in our parish one of their parents has passed away, right? And they grieve, and they're overwhelmed by that grief in some cases. And we sit with them, and I sit with them. And in one case, just to watch how people in this church have reached out to them and encouraged them and loved them and been there for them. To hear them talk about how, you know, this church has saved their lives, and the relationships in this church has saved their lives so many times. That's what I want us to hear and engender and live into in this church, in this place. Is not that we want to hear a message that kind of whitewashes and ignores the pain of our lives and the suffering of our lives, the hurts that we endure and the hurts that we create. But one that helps foster relationships and community that in our most difficult times we know that we are not alone. That one, our God is with us, and 2, the community of God's followers is nearby, loves us, and desires us to have life. And if you're new to St. David's, or if you've been here your whole life, you know, the church is always better and worse at those things. But that is who we are trying to be. That is who we are trying to live into. That is the message that you hear from me week after week, or will hear from me week after week, now that I'm back, if you're new. I want you and I want us to live our lives and live them to the fullest. I want us to live them in joy and peace and mercy. I want us to be able to let go of the things that we hold on to that bring us pain. And I want us to learn how to seek forgiveness in the ways that we have done harm. I want us as human beings to grow both in ourselves and as a people. That not only can we minister and care for one another, but that we can go out into this world and minister and care for it. You know, we're wrapping up the season of creation, right? The season where we're reminded week after week of our connection to the earth and to the world around us and our part in it as stewards of this creation. And so I want us to have a holistic idea of this. This isn't just the way in which we help our neighbor. It's the way in which we encounter and interact with and live in our entire world. The ways in which we seek reconciliation and mercy and peace. And so again, wherever you are, whether you're in the midst of great suffering or relishing in great joy and happiness, anywhere in between, whether you are holding on to something, living in something like some kind of pain that you have caused another and you don't know what to do with that, or if you have received the hurt of another, or both in many of our cases. I invite the Holy Spirit to live and walk among us that our hearts might be moved, and that in God's time we would be transformed. Because, and as I kind of conclude, this is not for us to feel like and to be told that we ought to be or we should be some other way. I mean, how often you come into a church or anywhere in this world and get the feeling like I should be someone else. I obviously didn't do this the right way, or I'm not the right kind of person for this. Obviously, I should be different. I know I received that message a lot in different churches while I grew up, right? I was who I was, and I was reminded of how terrible so much of me was, and that I needed to repent and to work as hard as I can to, like, get rid of all that stuff in my life. Because then God would love me more. I don't know if anyone said that, but that's what I internalized, right? That why would I be doing this? Well, because obviously I will be more appealing to God. You know, I will be more holy. You'll never be more holy than you are right now. And it's not because you do or don't do anything. It's because of God's grace and mercy declaring it over you. You are God's children. You are beloved of the Lord. You are holy and righteous. Yes, we live in the midst of sin. If you've seen the tattoos on my arms, it's to remind me that I am both sinner and saint at the same time, right? It's not some weird balance where I hope I'm kind of tipping the scales toward holiness, you know, by the time I die. It's a reality that I live in, and I have to take responsibility for the ways that I hurt, and I have to seek reconciliation in that as best I can. But that does not diminish or change the fact that I am God's child and that I am loved, and it's the same for you. I pray that you would rest in that love, in that righteousness, in that holiness, that it would motivate and encourage and spur you on and be there in the places where you feel shame or you feel like you're not enough, or worst of all, that you feel diminished because of what someone else has done or said to you. In those places, I ask that God's Spirit will speak that love and that righteousness, that holiness into your heart and lift you up and encourage and support you this day and always. Amen.